Join us as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
Invite you on a fantastic journey into the future. A future where legends are born from the titanic struggles between good and evil. Enter a brave new world of power, wonder, and mystery. Of terrifying evil. A world of powerful heroes. Follow the adventures of the most powerful fighting force in the world. Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
Earth 2099. The world is ruled by Lord Dredd and his bionic creations. Alcania, center of the Bionic Empire. The Metal Wars brought final victory to Dredd's mechanical creations, but there continues to be resistance from the human survivors. Lord Dredd will not rest until he locates and destroys the insurgents. Therefore, he monitors a continuing search for the fabled power base. Here in this hidden fortress, Future Force houses the powerful battle machines for ground, sea, and air. This is the center of operations in the battle against Dredd, the evil lord. Led by Captain Jonathan Power, the group is aided by the power suits that transform each soldier into a one-man attack force. The most powerful fighting force in Earth's history. Major Matthew Hawk Masterson. Fighter in the sky. Lieutenant Michael Tank Ellis. Ground Assault Unit. Jennifer Pilot Chase, Tactical Warfare. Sergeant Robert Scout Baker, Espionage and Surveillance. And Colonel Nathan Stingray Johnson, Aquatic Attack Force. Together they become Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. Deep within Vulcania, Lord Dredd's search continues.
We have a report of organic life in a sector called New Ort.
Find them.
Understood, my lord.
Back on the show is Steve and Izzy from Everything I Learned from Movies. Say hi. Don't be shy.
Hey, everybody.
It's pronounced Everything I Learned from Movies.
I know. I'm not good at singing, so why would I go there? Anyway.
Because I'm a goddamn songbird.
Obviously, we're professionals. So.
Hey, anyone can sing. Just ask Bill Shatner.
Hey, I have the Space Cowboy CD. Okay?
So do I, but I'm just saying. Oh, God. He had notes, and he just said, well, duly noted. I don't care what you think. So we're talking about a special one-of-a-kind cult show. How could I not know they weren't not fans of it? Because it was literally our first conversation together. Hey, that's how we got into weird cult movies and anything on TV. It was watching Captain Power. And so I was like, yeah, we're going to have to do an episode down the run. So that's the origin of this episode. Steve, Izzy, how the hell did you discover this? If I'm not mistaken, it was on TBS?
For me, it was being 6 years old and being raised in Utah. Apparently, this Canadian television show was being broadcast there in Utah. I'm sure it was across the world. Just, I don't know, for like a decade or so after watching this show when I was 6 years old, I would bring it up with other people and they'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? We're like, is that like Ninja Turtles or something? Like, no. It was another thing. It lasted like 1 year. It's this Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. It's like 22 episodes back in 1987. It's basically it came out a time when like post-apocalyptic movies were like all the rage, like with Mad Max and even like, you know, the Terminator, like going back in the past of that, and like all the Italian spin-offs of Mad Max, you know, movies you can make on the cheap because all you need is a desolate wasteland and people wearing some of the most random ass clothes and suits you've ever seen. And it was also during like the Hasbro and Mattel like action figure boom, and so they just kind of came together in this wonderful little creation.
1000%. Like, this was pretty, I mean, you spoke to Gary Goddard, you know, pre post scandal.
Oh, yeah,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, we did interview creator of the show, Gary Goddard, probably most famous for being a director of Masters of the Universe, but creator of this show around the same time.
Yeah, and now designer of roller coaster experiences.
Yeah, theme park rides all around the world, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's just it. Like, this is produced by a theme park, you know, company. So it's like, that's basically what they were putting a show and someone happened to be filming it every week.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's so easy to follow. I mean, everyone literally has just simple names. Tank, pilot, you know? It's just like, what else do you possibly
Hawk.
Need?
What does he do? He flies, you know?
Yeah.
What's he good at? He's good at being big and immovable.
He's the pilot. Good guy. What does he do? He flies. You know? There's a reason there's not even a need for a Wicca. It's like, what else could you possibly need to know?
Yeah. Scout, what's he do? He, like, cloaks
Scout.
Himself.
Like, he's a spy.
Lord Dredd, what's he? He's the bad guy. You know, it's fairly simple, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Even as a kid, I always thought, like, the show itself was kind of ahead of its time. Like, I mean, it was, you know, like, the first show to, like, use, like, CGI and live action kind of meshed, but that also meant each episode cost, like, $1 million to make. And you would think that's probably why, like, oh, this TV show nobody's really heard of, that's why it stopped. Like, no, it was also, like, pretty, it was, like, too dark and violent to be a kid's show, which is what they were kind of aiming for with, like, you know, the show and the action figures. We got, like, Saturday mornings and, you know, being the late 80s and, like, oh, just say no and guns are bad and blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, it is, so like, wild.
TV and swearing.
Yeah, they're okay with it in a PG rated blockbuster. Everyone, you know, saying F words and being butt ass naked. But oh, 80s TV. We cannot have you seeing what's just a low budget Star Wars. No, sir. How dare you? It's like,
yeah. They said the B word, you know, or something like it. Yeah, no swearing in this post apocalyptic world. But yeah, a lot of people get like. Basically, a lot of people being shot with like laser beams and then like sparklers on like guys with squibs, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, this is like not even, no.
But like Power Rangers kind of violence, like just the sparks whenever somebody's hit with a sword or whatever.
Yeah. I'm glad you asked like that. Do you think this brought? Yes, Transformers minus just a bunch of humans in robot suits. But yeah, this is like, do you think they would have even brought Power Rangers overseas had this not had some kind of success with the toy companies?
I mean, yeah, definitely really seems to like pave the way for them, you know, even though there's what, 7 or 8 years in between. But yeah, I don't know. It was just this weird, bold show that I really took to as a kid, just with, I
see a lot of influence.
Like a kid show, because there's stuff like there's episodes where like Captain Power runs into his old love, but now she's like a super militant person. And
I mean, like, For some crowds, it would be weird, but if they're into anime, this would be kind of no different than an episode of Dragon Ball Z, you know, I don't think.
Yeah.
But at least by 13, they would be watching it. But yeah, maybe not for six-year-olds, because for some reason, even though Star Wars is more intense in some capacity, it's just it's somehow more acceptable. There's less explosions, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess not as many explosions out of people's chests and stuff like that.
Instead, yeah, you got stupid henchmen.
I don't know. When did you watch this when it first came out?
No. So I was late to the crowd, but I was a GeoCities kid, so I was always just like, where can I find this? So I always wanted to scavenge, see if someone had, you know, DVDs of it on eBay that you could buy, and. Mm-hmm. It was also just because J. Michael Straczynski, who's known for other hits like Sense8 on Netflix and Babylon 5 Universe, like he owes his total career to this as one of the story editors. And he would always talk about it. It's like, because like, the reason all his productions were low budget is because he was using the same producers. David Nutter, I think, is what his name, one of those guys. But yeah, it's like, so he pretty much just did a copy and paste. And I can understand why they made comic books of this, because I mean, he was writing, you know, for Spider-Man and Thor, so it's just like basically, like you say, it was a live action comic book, you know, without a comic based on it, and a clear sense of what they wanted to do, which was just, again, just do a fun, epic Lord of the Rings kind of show with laser blasting.
Yeah, and I don't know, like when I was a kid too, I bought one of those like copies off eBay that's like all 22 episodes, but it's obviously like a rip off someone's childhood VHSs from when it was on TV and stuff like that, and you know, not the greatest quality, but at the same time it's like, yeah, this still kind of hits as far as like the story, and you know, acting's, you know, kind of, you know, it's a kid's show, it's, I mean, some great actors that have had like long careers and like hundreds of different projects and stuff, but you know, the lines they're given are kind of cheesy at some points, but like,
yeah,
Lost Lip. Oh my God. The finale of this show, like when I was a kid, was like, oh my God, she's dead. What's gonna happen now?
That's so
then,
true.
Like, and then season two never happened. So it's like, oh, well, I guess we just got to go to the comics.
You got to go to the comics. And the DVDs are great. Cause like Goddard even goes in there and just pretty much answers all of the questions, like not in just the special features, but also on like just the opening thing. He did a good job remastering it. Only at like two different episodes did I see what looked like a tracking error. Like the tape's just that old. You can only scan so much. So I got vibes of what the St. Elsewhere show on Hulu looks like now. Where it's like, okay, some of it's well digitally scanned, other ones are looking like older Twilight Zone copies where it's just been copied one too many times to where a digital copy is the only copy they have right now in the vault. So, but they did really good. There's not too many other flickers, and obviously if you were to show it to today's snobs, some of them are gonna do the whole just making fun of the graphics, and you're just gonna have to say, hey, shut up, not everything has to be Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, Jurassic Park wasn't until like 7 years later, so calm down.
calm your ass down.
It was still
down.
Being invented as they were doing the show. You know?
Hell, they were making it up on the fly, and they did pretty good, because like you say, I mean, all these guys, some of them I've still seen in a bunch of Canadian productions. I think Jessica Steen especially was on NCIS years later, and
yeah, she's still doing that Heartland, which is basically like I don't know, some kind
Hallmark
of
Hallmark Channel.
Yeah. Yeah. But
why do you suppose the lead, why did he not take off? Did he just not want to be in the acting spotlight or what? You know?
Yeah, the last kind of things he did were like random episodes of like JAG and like Diagnosed Murder there in the 90s. And
right.
Tim Dunnigan, yeah, his actor's name, he just was kind of one of those like Alan Thicke MacGyver types, like, you know.
Kinda, yeah. And yeah. But yeah, I mean, because like you say, Sven Ole Orson, you mentioned numerous times on your show, you know, he was already just known as being Arnold's workout buddy. So he was set for life. And if anything, he basically is the Arnold of the show. But I mean, I really am surprised that, yeah, I mean, some of the other guys didn't go on and well, I take that back. So what's his name? Pilot.
Peter McNeil.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, Mitch O'Neill. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, Peter McNeil, who played Major Hawk Masterson or whatever. I was like looking at his IMDb. Apparently, he's in Nightmare Alley, which I haven't watched yet. He's Judge Kimball in that. I don't know if you've seen it. But...
I've seen it, but I don't remember anything about the judges, so I remember the leads. Yeah. So, yeah, but yeah, no, he's been around for quite a while, just in a lot of Canadian productions. But Scout, I mean, I've seen... My introduction to him was on the RoboCop miniseries and in the horror film Cube.
Yeah, Prime Directives.
Right? And but also in Cube, he's the neo-Nazi criminal. He's another Canadian guy. I've seen him. He just was one of those, again, anyone in Canada has basically been on everything you've seen on, you know, like X-Files and Stargate. So it's like, yeah, he's one of those guys. He's been around. I've definitely seen his face without knowing his name. But for the most part, yeah, a lot of them just kind of, they casually work or they just kind of slightly vanish. And I just kind of thought, well, was it just because this was independently produced and they wanted just something that was just a bigger ratings hit to cast people on and they were kind of considered the losers? I don't know. I don't know why, like you say, it kind of just vanished. Because you would think that with the toys being a hit and it being kind of casual, yeah, Saturday morning, it'd be a bigger deal. But
yeah, from what I understand, talking to Gary Goddard and Sven Ole Thorsen, they both were kind of like, yeah, they basically only wanted to do it for the one season because, well, I'm sure cost of production was a major thing, but mostly there was a lot of backlash with the violence, with the even with like the toys, like, you know, they're basically like ships, guns that were designed to look like ships that you would shoot at the TV and stuff, kind of like Duck Hunt.
Oh, so you have activated the flashing or something?
That's exactly what I was thinking. And there are times if you rewatch certain episodes where it's like, it's pretty clear that basically these actors, these stuntmen were just basically playing laser tag if you look at how their suits explode. It's just like, that's yeah, kind totally. Of the fun of it. But I mean, like you say, the fun shows on, you know, displays on screen and it is cheesy without being offensively just too much for its own good, you know, like I don't think even anyone who likes making fun of low budget productions whatever even put it on a so bad it's good list. It's just, it's not that kind of show. Everyone knows what they're walking into.
It was trying to like walk that line of being for kids and adults, and it just didn't, you know, trying to be everything to everyone, and it's like you kind of have to pick a lane to last a while. I don't know.
You would think maybe after this many years they would have maybe been spotted at a convention panel doing a Q&A, but it's like more obscure than like what Firefly was for a while, you know, all those other canceled sci-fi shows.
Yeah, I mean I'm all for a reboot. Like, I know a couple years ago there was somebody was trying to get something off the ground called like Phoenix Rising or something, which was like
really
a power reboot. But yeah, that you know, as far as I know, that never really took off and, you know, got funding or anything. But yeah,
that's
wild. It was ahead of its time, in my opinion. And it's, I don't know, it should make a comeback.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna use your format, guys. Let's hashtag bring back Captain Power.
Bring back Captain Power. Release the power cut. I don't know. Do whatever you gotta do. Still, whatever hashtag.
Viva Captain Power.
What year does it take place? Like 2047 or something.
Like? Something like that.
It's right around the corner. Let's make it happen, guys.
Oh, man, Maybe you can do one of your Highlander universe crossovers. It's like said, one of them is set in like 2024. So there you go. 20 years later, it's another cyberpunk future.
Adrian Paul, Christopher.
There
can only be one, Captain.
The voice of the spaceship is Clancy Brown. So there you go. Yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So I think you said some of your copies or reruns that you had seen were re-airing on TBS. I could never find anything on where it re-aired, because definitely some channel would have probably re-aired it back in the day.
Yeah, I think it was like some Canadian cable channel, like Cox or something. I don't know.
Cox. What a great name.
Every once in a while, but they tried blurring it out most of the time. At least on the copy I got, like, again, kind of a shady eBay one, but
yeah, I was gonna say, I think you're thinking TBS, because we definitely do not have a super bootleg copy of the entire Drew Carey show. Yeah. It definitely
yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Nor do we also have the eBay version of Duckman before the real version came out.
Oh my god. Well, no, that is so wild. You would have thought, with Ren and Stimpy having G-rated and R-rated versions, you would think there might be cable TV guy wanting to, like, adapt this, like, continuance on its network. But, yeah, it's like they still had that mentality back then where it's like it's one and done. Like, it can't transfer to a network, you know, because we don't want to share the profits and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that. But, yeah. So, all right, guys, Guys, I just got a text. I'm trying to think.
Captain Power's calling.
Who would financially back this? Let's say the Game of Thrones guys. They want to do a Captain Power reboot.
They want something with a good with no ending.
Yeah. Benioff and Weiss. They hit me up. They're like, hey, we need to know who we're going to cast in this reboot.
Oh snap!
I already know Nicolas Cage is going to be a part of it. I'm going to nominate him for Lord Dredd.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. I want to see him go full Nick Cage as a villain.
So, fun fact.
But he's robotic. So, he's like kind of reserved until maybe later in the season he starts getting a little twitchy, haywire. His human starts
coming out.
Is he going to be clean shaven or have a crazy beard?
You know what? That's up to him.
Oh, clean shaven. He's going to go full Lord Dredd. Like, he'll still have like the Widow's Peak kind of headdress thing that Lord Dredd has in this, but.
I'm so glad you brought up Dredd, because it's so funny, because he just looks, you know, with his blinking suit and his, you know, half robot face, he looks like a Borg version of Darth Vader. And on the DVD special features, like on the booklet, Goddard does make a claim. It's like, no, this was before Track, you know, and I swear.
Crap, that was like a year before.
Yeah. It's a disclaimer. It's like, okay, yeah, we came out the same year, but we, you know, this was in the fold. And it is cool that they have the TV movie, which was kind of a mashup of like one of the rejected pilots as well as some extended footage, because it helps give backstory to that cool villain the whole runtime you want to know more about. And, you know, you guys have talked before about how, you know, good or bad movies spend way too much time just on the villain when they should just, you know, make an impression in the first act. And you kind of just always feel that at the beginning of each episode. It's like, that's all I need to go on. I don't need to know any more about him. But I want to know more about him because
he's kind of like, who's this guy? Like, oh, obviously he's in charge of the robots or the bad people. That's really all you need. I mean, he's just spouting exposition and like, ring me Captain Power with that.
Yeah.
By the way, that guy was the voice of Magneto in the X-Men cartoons, and it's like, yes, that's where I know that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And half the time I was even looking at it, I was like, it's like, why does he sound like he's doing his best take on Frank Welker, one of those other G.I. Joe types? It's like, no, he's, like you say, he already was a voice actor making his rare on-screen acting appearance. And but yeah, I mean, so if Nick Cage plays Lord Dredd, who I could see Bautista playing Tank in a reboot nowadays.
Oh hell yeah.
Just one of those other muscle men. who else can we cast?
Say like the Mountain, but yeah, I really like Bautista, that you brought it up.
He could maybe even pull a Deadpool and say, this isn't your father's Guardians of the Galaxy. This is the reboot of Captain Power. Yeah. Oh, man.
After seeing him in Bushwick, yeah, I can see it.
Do it. It was a great film.
But who's gonna be Captain Power though? That's the real question.
It really is. Do you want to go with an unknown or just a guy who's just? How could it just be a comedian?
We gotta have some Hemsworth behind this.
The Hemsworth is always the default.
Yeah, because look, even if we got the littlest Hemsworth.
Well, who's the modern day Alan Thicke or MacGyver kind of? You know, just
get Luke. Get Luke from Westworld.
Oh no, I can see it.
Okay, there you go. He already rebooted Walker, Texas Ranger, so yeah, get Padalecki. Perfect.
Can we at least get Jensen Ackles?
Yeah, we can get one of the boys.
Ooh. There's like a bunch of other recurring henchmen. Totally maybe he could be the co-scientist who brought up Dredd's programmed and transformed him. So
there we go. We can get him in.
And he just doesn't get to play as many bad guys, so he's gotta play bad guy. Oh god.
Who else we got? Hawk?
We got Hawk.
Is Coleman
pilot? Who could play a pilot but actually look like they want to pilot a ship intensely and fall out of their seat against a green screen?
Alexandra Daddario. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Yeah. Dire hair, yes.
If they got to be a little older, I can always go with Elizabeth Shue.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I say a little older, like 35 years older or something.
Oh, there you go. You could work in some kind of I de-age myself or some bullshit. Damn sci-fi future. So Scout, I mean, he's got to just kind of stand out.
Yeah, he's the comic relief and stuff too. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Donald Glover is interested, more than happy to have him jump in on this.
I don't think anyone will be against that. He might even be the biggest fan of it and be like, no, you gotta be in it.
It's like, oh yeah, crap, yeah. I mean, Daniel Kaluuya would be awesome.
Ooh.
But he's not quite the comic relief guy. Yeah.
He could be the crying double.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Special tears provided by David Kaluuya. Acting training. Oh, this is a dope cast. So, well, if Glover's in this, is there going to be a community co-writer in here somewhere?
I got it. Joel McHale, Captain Power.
Oh, shit.
Just bring the whole crew back. We'll see. No.
I
can see it.
Nathan Fillion.
He could be the
Steve's not about sex trafficking. Is he going to be in it?
Well, if they're rebooting it, then they got to just reuse storylines because it's not a broken system. So, Fillion can be the bounty hunter who tries the doppelganger in that one episode.
They'll
build a Mandalorian type arc, extend it. So that's dynamite. That's a stellar.
Oh, shit! Speaking of Mandalorian, you know who'd be a great Captain Power?
Who?
Timothy Oliphant.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Totally.
Oh my god! Yes.
You're welcome.
He's like the only gritty old.
This happen.
Steve, who's gonna play Tank?
Dave Bautista.
Ah.
I remember we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
We want some Disney funders to look at this and give us extra money. So.
Yeah. Or the. It's either him or, I mean, the guy who's a Reacher or whatever.
Oh, the new Jack Reacher.
Yeah, you know, the guy from Blue Mountain State.
I don't know. I'm kind of leaning toward Jason Momoa type territory. I got to have just some guy who the ladies dig and the guys want to be.
What's Hodor doing these days?
Oh. He would totally be acceptable for this because all he's got to say is like literally two lines. So, yeah.
Got Captain Power, something's coming. Yeah.
Yes. Roll out.
By the way, guys, I love Svennel Thorsen.
Svennel Thorsen's amazing.
He was our first interview we did on our podcast.
He was such a great guest.
Yeah.
He was just in his backyard, petting his dog, smoking a cigar, telling us about the good old days, making fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And his villainous name.
Great. Oh my god, man. Were we ever able to get a Dutch copy of his book so we could translate it?
I may just Google Translate, get in Google
Translate. I was just thinking that. Google, can you translate his book?
Yeah, so he kept saying, like, oh, yeah, it's going to be coming in English in a couple of months. Just in a couple more months. Just a couple more months. It's been, like, 4 years now. So, let me take care of that for you. I'll even go through and proofread it and let you know if I have any questions.
100%. So, this show will never get the Blu-ray treatment because studios suck. But The DVD is near impossible to find. I had to fork out just about $80 for that fucking thing. It's like, it is hard to find. Yeah, I was actually just looking
up to see, like, if there was a newer version. But yeah, they're all, like, starting at $40 on eBay, like, for resales. And
plus shipping.
It's eBay, yeah. You can never trust it. Yeah.
You know what, though? I want to give a shout-out to all you got you backroom shady-ass bootlegs, CD and DVD sellers. You guys have made my life, like, you've added an extra star to my life. And I thank you for your shady backroom deals. I thank you for your bad copies of TBS specials. Thank you, thank you. Like, truly, I know this sounds like a backhanded compliment, but I'm just being real about it.
Oh, totally. When Relic Hunter and Martial Law came out.
Rips of Mistress of the Apes.
Yes. Thank you, all you guys. And years then, before. All you hearty, hard, hard pirates who get it out there in front of the public. Thank you.
Yes.
Yep.
Doing the God's work.
Release the shit that the studios just are not bright enough to know that we actually want to see. And I, you know, again, when Relic Hunter and Martial Law came out, I was like, why do I need that? I already got my bootlegs of them.
To see if it's a better version. And then isn't it always disappointing when you realize your shady bootleg version is better than the re-release?
1000%. I will take a channel logo and HDTV over this is what looks like a poor VHS, you know, upgrade.
Oh my God, you guys, I got it. We got to get this in front of Vinegar Syndrome.
Yep.
They might do it.
Gotta be behind it. And you know what?
Shout Factory might do it.
Because they also need to get Congo and get some commentary tracks with Ernie Hudson while he's still around, and Frank Marshall and all those guys. Get those stories. Because the current Blu-ray for Congo only has the trailer. That's it. That's the
right. Besides the movie. What a face slap.
It doesn't even have, like, stuff you can find on YouTube, just, like, looking up, like, oh yeah, the making the movie whatever feature that's like 25 minutes about, you know, the largest animatronic ever used in cinema at that point for the hippos.
Right?
Larger than the T-Rex.
you would have thought that Stan Winston would have had some behind the scenes, like, just even a photo gallery would be enough, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, since they basically cut the killer apes out of most of the movie anyway, so.
And you would think, like, even more people would want to see some of these various cult movies, because, like, it doesn't take much to, I mean, come on, how many shocking movies have you been given through Patreon? I mean, it doesn't take much to build up easy hype on the internet. It's like, what is this long-lost movie? I must seek it out. It's like, yeah, it is. But fortunately, yes, Vinegar Syndrome and Shout Factory and a few other companies are doing just a downright, just delightful job. And you would think they could definitely have some power with some kind of broadcaster on saying, hey, you know, I'll do this for, you know, 10,000, get it on there. It'll look just as good as any other shit you guys broadcast.
Yeah. And they got to do it while the people that made the show from 35 years ago are still around.
Right.
Get that firsthand feedback.
Right. And there you go. They all cameo as themselves in a mirror universe.
Oh,
yeah. and Cameron, you were saying that they, like, Shout Factory needs a station. They technically have a station on Samsung TV.
Well, no, that's what I was getting at.
They technically have the Shout Factory channel.
Yes, they in Criterion channel. I mean, streaming's taking over anyway, so it's like, yeah. I don't care if they pitch this to Prime or tell Netflix, yeah, fine, we'll do it. But it's just like, it really would not take much at all, other than just approval, like you say.
Netflix, justify your new rate increase. Get the Shout Factory on there.
With the star of Justified.
Netflix, hit us up.
Yes.
We already have the contacts. We'll put you in touch with Gary Goddard. He'll give the rights, or, you know, he'll sell them for a pretty penny.
There you go. It won't get canceled after one season like Cowboy Bebop.
I mean, oh. Fingers crossed. You
know? It's not anime, so.
Yeah, true.
Well, and it does make you wonder, because it's like so much other shit that was in anime has been adapted. So what is stopping this? There's got to be a giant anime fandom, or just some. I mean, I'm even surprised this isn't even listed as cyberpunk. This totally would be attracted to some kind of Matrix crowd or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because we're so close to the apocalypse, there's no longer a draw towards post-apocalyptic movies.
The nerve! They make a show called The Hot Zone about, you know, basically contagious diseases during COVID, and yet nothing like Captain Power can be on the air right now. That's like, yeah, I'm done with you, Hollywood.
It's too violent. Where's John Wick 4?
Yeah. Equalizer 3 just got announced. Looking forward to it. Oh, Captain Power. Oh, that's taboo. Oh, my religious parent won't allow it. Oh. So, where can we find you two masterminds on the interwebs for those dumbasses who don't know about you?
Oh, well, you can find us on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies. Or you can hit us up directly on Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies. Babe, are you on social media at all?
Oh, I am. You can find me everywhere at Untidy Venus. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social medias. I also have an Etsy shop where I sell my goods and wares at Untidy Venus. And I have a Patreon.
Correct.
That's right. You can subscribe. I have a sticker of the month club. Once a month, I'll mail you stickers for a low, low fee. I have a print of the month club. I've got all kinds of fun stuff. I post pictures of my pets. I post pictures of art when I'm doing art. Lately, I've just been posting pictures of our home improvement projects, because that's where all my creative energy is going. Steve and I learned how to rewire a lamp.
Yeah.
Yes. Steve, I'm telling you got to teach some like film appreciation class, or maybe even just some kind of just like you say, just some fun entertainment gadget, or maybe host a Q&A. Izzy should probably host an animation club after school. And
I don't know how to animate, so sorry.
Well, even just
hear us on Everything I Learned from Movies.
They have so many great episodes. Anyone who hasn't heard them, if you're unsure, I don't know why you would be, but if you haven't, listen to the Robin Hood month. Still a great episode where they had to recast the whole universe.
Hood movie month, because it's Hood February. Movie.
You're right. And Liz and Heather made the mistake of having some anti Nick Cage talk, and Steve went back into moderator mode and was like, silence. And Izzy had to educate the besotted geek on Patrick Stewart's clearly already been in a Robin Hood movie. How the fuck do you not know this? Well, you were bad. You had bad parents. How did they not show you Mel Brooks movies? Oh. But yeah, they're always good with their various themes.
We're so good at insulting our guests.
Yeah. As a top five podcast in that regard.
Right. Well, but I mean, they jive with you, because again, you guys are on the same network, so everyone wins. So this is like, and this is so funny how everyone learns something
we
from the
do
other.
Some of their episodes about Star Trek episodes, because we don't know much about Star Trek, but we know what we like. And
it's the lowest rated episodes.
6.9.
Right. And he's literally a walking memory alpha, and you're like, come on, say that in English, please. Is this the Rashomon episode, or is this the Die Hard on a Ship episode? So again, they're always acing it. They bring on so many unknown movies, along with movies that everyone should just sit back and relax and enjoy. And I don't know how anyone could not be listening to the show at this point. You guys.
Well, thank you, Cameron. We agree.
Yes, thank you so much.
But where can we find you in case they stumbled upon this some other way?
Their Uber driver is playing this, and they need to know where to download it.
Oh my God, I hope I'm not on Uber. But no, seriously. So yeah, you can find us anywhere on Instagram and Twitter, Tacked Up Review Show. And yes, this was hopefully more than just a fun ego stroke involved. Hopefully we did revisit a fun show that many seem to have seen, but not many want to seem to talk about. So, and thanks to you, you guys are going to keep, you know, getting on just special guests and finding out exclusive stuff that no one can find on IMDb.
Thanks. We're trying, man. Apparently these guys are still working or not accepting emails. I don't know.
Right. That they're in somewhere in Arizona is like they only check the mailbox. They don't check anything else. They still have antenna TV. Streaming, what's that? Are you one of them millennials who woke people? No. If I was, would you still take my interview? Oh, God.
Thanks for having us, Cameron. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you.
One and done. So support Steve and Izzy on everything that is holy and cats.
Yeah.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, chin puff, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pox disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that.
Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you should be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist.
Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How
be
did
a rough
you watch
one.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey
and I'm Zach. And we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah.
Bana 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 bana.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one last plot holes and gratuitous movies, it's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
at eilfm.podbean.com.
We now continue with our program.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening.
It's a Jacked Up Review Show.